This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAPrepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAPrepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked? Locked? Hour number two of USA Prepares. Kyle is with me, and we're talking about saving your hard-earned money by increasing your miles per gallon, decreasing the amount of gasoline that your vehicle uses with tips that are in the book that I'm writing and with Gwyneth. And Kyle has got some of the same tips that he's discovered independently. Kyle, your thoughts?
Well, here's a couple, folks. And when Vince, I want to jump back just a little bit. Vince talked about the sweet spot for your vehicle. Excuse me. That is the, for lack of a better term, the sweet spot is where your car is the cam on the inside of the engine that's spinning around is producing the most amount of power, or your engine to the cam. I won't get too complicated, but your engine's producing the most amount of power for the amount of fuel that you're putting into it and getting you the best mileage. That's considered the sweet spot. Now, it's different with the gear ratios of different vehicles because the gear ratios affect the RPMs of the motor. So, like on my old 95 three-quarter ton four-wheel drive Chevy with a 350 engine, and it has 410 gears in it, but it has an overdrive in the transmission. So what I have found traveling longer distances with my truck is that if I will keep it at about 63 miles per hour, I will get the best mileage for that truck for driving longer distance. I will get actually almost 2 miles per gallon better than if I push it up to 70. It really does make a difference. For the little cars, if you do this enough, if you'll drive like this enough, just kind of experiment with your, the way you drive. If you'll drive, but like between, if you're on the highway and the speed limit is 70, and you're just kind of, you'll be able to, eventually you'll be able to feel it. You'll be able to feel when your car is like, well, you know, I don't even hardly have to touch the accelerator, and it's maintaining this speed that I'm going right now real easily. So that's my definition of the sweet spot. The other thing about tire pressure, if you and I think Vince and I have mentioned this before, but I wanted to bring up a caveat to tire pressure. I like to, if your car tire says 35 PSI is the maximum, I will take it all the way to 35. Now, if it's a real little car, and say it's like this, a little Corolla or Camry or something along those lines, and you fill it up beyond 35, sometimes your car tire will still lay flat, but if you're not careful with some cars, it will cause the bottom of the tire to oval. It will actually push the center part of the tread up a little bit, and you'll start wearing the center of your tire off. So it's a really good idea to always check your tires. The other thing, by checking your tires, you can start noticing whether the inside or outside of the tires are wearing more uneven than, say, the outside's wearing more uneven than the inside, or if the outside or inside is starting this little cupping process. All of these things are indicative of balance and or alignment. And so something, if you want to get the best mileage and your car tires are starting to cup, like have just a tiny little flare on the edges, well, that little flare on the edges of the outside edge of your tires, where it almost always happens, that is slapping the road every time your car tire spins around. And so that means every time it slaps the road, it's creating friction, and it's costing you mileage. I know you have a lot to elaborate on that, Vince, but go ahead.
Okay, so, yeah, I absolutely agree. So, class, here's what I do. And there's some considerations when you apply these techniques. So we live on a dirt road, and over time we have learned that the higher the tire pressure, the greater the chances of a rock poking through the tread of a vehicle. Right? So what I'm saying is the road grader will come by and regrade the road, and there are a lot of flint-type rocks here, really sharp rocks, the equivalent of arrowheads pointing straight up. And if the tire pressure is high, the chances of blowing that tire or penetrating the tire with that rock, that real sharp, small rock, is really high. So in that circumstance, lowering the tire pressure a little bit lower than I normally would inflate the tires to works better, but not on the highway. If we're going to be driving on the highway, and if we have a loaded truck, you know, with a lot of weight in it, we want the maximum tire pressure that those tires are rated for. So, for example, if the tire is rated for, Kyle used the example, 35 pounds, that's what he puts in them, that's what we put in them. If it's rated for 44, they get 44. If they're rated for 80 PSI, they get 80. Except if the truck, except in the back of a pickup truck, if it has tires that are rated for 80 and it's a diesel with a heavy front engine, then we'll put maybe 60 pounds in the front and maybe 50 pounds in the back. The bottom line is if you look at racing bicycles, those tires are really pumped up a lot. They really are, because they want the least amount of rolling resistance. The way you can look at this is, let's say you have a hand truck, one of those moving, you know, let's say you're going to move a refrigerator. You get this hand truck under it, and you now have the refrigerator tilted, and you're on two wheels, and you're pushing this hand truck. Imagine the tires on that hand truck are not fully inflated. Do you think it's going to be harder to push that refrigerator or easier with tires not inflated to the maximum? The answer is, it's way easier when those tires are inflated to the maximum that they say they can be inflated to. So that's what we do. We typically go to the maximum. Now, 80 pounds is really, really high. I don't recommend that for anybody. Way, way high for truck tires. Way high. Unless you have a real heavy load, I wouldn't do it. So the next thing is, how much extra fuel are you burning with under-inflated tires? My numbers are, if you have all four tires under-inflated by 5 pounds, you will increase your fuel consumption by about 2%. That, to me, is significant. And when I used to race, on the track, on the drag strip, I would have my front tires inflated way more than everybody else, and literally, probably dangerously, overinflated. So at the time, tires were probably rated for 32 pounds maximum. I put 40 in them. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do what I did. And because I just wanted to ride on the center rib of the front tire. Okay? But that's racing. That's completely different from being on the road. And that's straight line racing. That's not going around corners, etc. So it's really dangerous to do that. But I don't think it's dangerous to inflate your tires to close to what the maximum that the sidewall says that you can inflate your tires to. And when they say you can inflate to 44 or 35 pounds per square inch, they mean cold. That means your tires are out of the sun. That means you haven't driven the vehicle for hours. And like in the morning when your vehicle's out of the sun, cold tires, not heated up by using them, by driving on them. So that's what I do. I like the maximum or close to the maximum inflation pressure that the tires will allow. And what you'll experience is a much harder ride. And the vehicle manufacturers used to, and I don't know what they do because I don't have a new vehicle, but what they used to do is recommend very low tire pressures. So, for example, 28 pounds in the front, maybe 30 pounds in the rear, something like that, or vice versa. It was for a nice, soft, cushy American ride. But that's hard on miles per gallon. Kyle?
Yeah, exactly. The only, and you can correct me here, Vince, if I'm wrong, but the only thing that I do different, when it's the middle of summer here, I will not inflate my tires all the way to the extreme pressure that the highest pressure that the cars call for. In fact, what I will usually do is drop a couple of PSI in each tire in the summertime, because if it's 90 degrees here, which it's rarely that, but if it's running 85 to 90 degrees, sometimes 95, and you're running down that road, those tires are going to get really hot. And when they get really hot, they're going to heat that air in that tire even more. And I don't like having my tires, personally, I don't like having them pushed beyond the limit of the PSI, that the maximum PSI that they're rated at. And what do you think about that?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. In two circumstances, I saw something that I couldn't believe. So there was a guy who had a spare tire, a brand new spare tire, in the back of his pickup truck. He just put it in the back there and left it in the back, and it was in the sun. And he had it inflated to the maximum pressure. And just sitting baking in the hot summer sun, it exploded all by itself. The truck was parked. It wasn't moving anywhere. That spare tire wasn't even on the truck. Boom. It was a loud explosion. Another time, I saw a truck tire on the front wheel of a large truck, much bigger than, kind of like the size of a dump truck. And I was sitting in the sun, and boom, tire just exploded, just sitting there. Hadn't been driven, you know, in days and days. So it's not like the tire was hot. It was the heat of the sun heating up the air. You know, the tires are black. They absorb a lot of heat. Absolutely correct. You can, class, select lower rolling resistance tires. So these are tires that are designed for more miles per gallon. Now, the sidewalls will flex more. And they are not what you'd really want to have on a vehicle that travels on rough roads. But you'll get more miles per gallon if you buy low rolling resistance tires. But low rolling resistance tires means, to me, less durable. I don't have them. I'm not going to buy them. But that's a possibility. I don't recommend it. And I'm going to tell you something that you're not going to believe when we come back.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Kyle's in the front of the classroom today, and I love broadcasting with Kyle. We talk about cars and mechanical things and off-grid living. It's just wonderful. Thank you, Kyle, for being with us. So, class, you're not going to believe this, but there's some information on the Internet that tells you that, well, if you want the most miles per gallon, what you should consider doing is going with the narrowest tires that you possibly can, meaning the narrowest tread width. Don't do that. That's absolute insanity. Now, the thought is that narrow tires have less frontal area as they travel through the wind, so there's less aerodynamic drag. That's absolutely positively correct. And to prove that, if you look at a dragster, you know, from the 70s or so, you will see that on the front of these really powerful flame-throwing dragsters with the really wide rear tires, on the front, they have motorcycle tires, as thin as you could possibly get them, inflated to the maximum, but they're going straight. They have no intention of turning. What they're really trying to do is go straight as fast as possible. But it's insanity to go with the narrowest tires that you can possibly put on your vehicle. So what you really want to do is use the recommendation from the manufacturer. Whatever they say the tire width, height, dimension should be, that's what you should consider. Now, what Kyle and I try to do is we try to go at least one size over that. So if the tire is a 245 75-16, we would go with a 265, 75-16, which is a taller tire. But it's a little wider, too, so you have more footprint. You have more patch of the tire on the road for more traction. And you will have less revolutions, less engine revolutions per mile with that size tire than you would with the standard size tire. But if you go to a tire shop, they will never recommend that you do that. They'll say, no, you're best off with the standard tires because they don't standard size tires because they don't want to be sued. Kyle, any comments?
Yeah, I do have, like on the pickups that I drive, the 245, 75, 16 seems to be a pretty standard size for most 90s and 2000s Chevy pickup, early 2000s anyway. But what I also have done, because I'm dealing with a lot of snow and ice here, and what we find on our pickups is a lot of them I will go to a 235, 85, 16 rather than the 245, 75, which is a narrower than 245 size tire and taller than 245, 75 series tire. And it puts more pounds per square inch. Like if you think of it, if you had 100 pounds and this pressing down with a little one on a 1-inch board, you would have 100 pounds per square inch or in a square inch board. But so what I have done on most all of the plow trucks and the one truck that I have, the 95, still has the standard 245, 75, 16s on it. But the rest of them are all 235, 85, 16s because I want more pounds per square inch on the ground for those tires. And it's a little narrower footprint, but when you're dealing in ice and snow and mud, sometimes I find that my traction is better with a narrower, taller tire. Your comment, Vince?
Well, we have a similar but different problem. Here on the farm, we travel on some mushy ground. So we have rain, and then we might have freezing, then we might have thawing, and then the ground is mush. So we want a bigger footprint so that we do less damage to the field. You're talking about being on the road, and you're not concerned about doing damage, you know, to the pavement because you won't damage it with your consideration. But in our case, we go with, believe it or not, a 285, 75, 16, really big tire. But that's for a farm truck. That's really not the ideal over-the-road size. It doesn't handle as well. It's kind of sloppy on the sidewalls because there's so much rubber between the wheel, the rim of the wheel, and the road. So it's not ideal for the road, but it's really good for the farm. So it depends on what you're doing. When we come back, brake drag. We'll talk about that.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
South Korea has elected a conservative president. Like Trump, he said he's ready to shake things up. South Korea's president-elect Yoon Sung-yeol said Thursday he would solidify an alliance with the United States, build up a powerful military, and strongly cope with North Korean provocations. The president-elect translated by Arirang News.
I've been fighting corruption and crimes that give people pain, and I will equally stand up against those forces harming the nation's constitution.
High-level peace talks in Turkey bear no results. Ukraine's foreign minister said he discussed a 24-hour ceasefire with his Russian counterpart, but no progress was made as Moscow's representative defended its invasion and said it was going as planned. Ukraine's Dmytro Kuleba said he secured no promise from Russia's Sergei Lavrov to halt firing so aid could reach civilians, including the main humanitarian priority, evacuating hundreds of thousands of people trapped in harm's way. USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Congress finally delivers a budget this week, and NASA gets most of what it wants. Congress will provide NASA with a budget of $24 billion. That's about $700 million more than NASA received for fiscal year 2021. The group Voter GA released evidence on how election results were electronically manipulated in Georgia. During a press conference, the organizer's co-founder, Garland Favorito, outlined the investigation's findings of a cloud computing scheme that was used in Fulton County's general election.
Every vote has some type of a manipulation problem. Literally every vote in Fulton County had some type of a manipulation problem. We know that the ballots are not going to add up to the election results, but we honestly don't know what the real election results are in Fulton County. And I can tell you Fulton County doesn't know what they are. All 374,128 in-person ballot images from the 524,000 that Fulton certified, they're all missing. All 370, these are all the in-person votes, all the in-person ballot images are missing. And that's the violation of federal and state law. Well, we also have 132,284 mail-in ballot images that cannot be authenticated either because they're missing their authentication files.
I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Why
are
you got your
take?
When you go
for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
So we're talking about saving fuel, and every one of these tips works. Every single one of them. And Kyle and I have proven them independently. There's no question that they work. I used to race cars, and I proved my techniques on the racetrack where applicable as well. Mrs. Fennelli and our son came back. I asked them to pick up some fuel. Without gasoline, our farm is in really, really serious trouble. We can't use the chainsaw. We can't use the rototiller. We can't use some of our farm equipment without gasoline. We can't use the farm equipment without diesel. And prices on the uptick really, really rapidly. So rapidly. So, and by the way, Missouri has some of the lowest priced fuel in the country. And so they stopped by the local station, and the price was $3.66.9 per gallon, which is pretty low, right? In today's terms, $3.66.9 a gallon. And while they were pumping fuel in the truck and in the spare gas cans to run the chainsaws and rototiller, etc., the price went from $3.66.9 to $3.79.9. while they were pumping fuel. It's been going up every day all across most of the United States. And they were locked in at 366.9. But the next car, next truck, 379.9. Okay, brake drag. Now, the most efficient brakes for your vehicle, if they're adjusted properly, are going to be drum brakes. But they're the worst in terms of braking ability. They're not very good for consistent, reliable braking. But what happens is the brake drum spins not in contact with the brake shoes, which is a real good thing, because if the brake shoes were in contact with the brake drum, you would be slowing down. That's what they're designed to do. The friction of the brake shoe against the steel brake drum. Well, disc brakes are almost always in contact. The disc brake pad is almost always in contact with the disc brake rotor. So in terms of economy, you'll get worse fuel economy with disc brakes than you will with drum brakes. However, the disc brakes, when everything's working properly, ride on a thin film, if you will, of air. But they're always in some kind of friction mode, because just the out of tolerances, the wobble of the disc brake rotors, are always in contact, and they consume more energy than drum brakes if everything is set up perfectly and operating according to the design criteria. But the disc brakes stop so much better. I am willing to sacrifice that small amount of additional fuel to have disc brakes than drum brakes. Now, some vehicles, including trucks, have disc brakes in the front, drum brakes in the rear. Well, I prefer disc brakes all around. That's my preference. But there's a tip that we have that I don't think anybody on the radio would talk about, and that is called a drag reduction clip, or a drag reduction spring. And you can put these on your disc brakes. And what they do is a very light tension outward, away from the disc brake rotor. And it pushes the disc brake pads just ever so slightly away from the rotor, imperceptibly away. So you'll have less drag, and you'll get just a little bit more miles per gallon. What do they cost? About $5 per axle. So $5 for both rear wheels. And I have them on my Silverado 2001 pickup truck. Kyle, have you ever done that?
No, Vince. I learned something completely new today. I've never heard of them before.
Okay, you can buy them, you can get them at AutoZone, and you can put them on yourself, class. Drag reduction clips or brake drag reduction clips or springs, about $5. That's what we pay. They're probably $7.99, retail. And they are made by a company called Ray Bestus. Ray is in a guy's first name, Raymond Bestus, as in asbestos. And Ray Bestus, I think they have some of the finest quality brake products ever, but they've shipped a lot of their production to China. So that's brake drag reduction clips. Now, here's something that you should do. We have talked about non-contact thermometers many, many, many times over different subjects here at USA Prepares. So these are like a pistol grip gun, But all it does is it can measure, without contacting a surface, the temperature. So, for example, if I wanted to know the temperature of a floor air conditioning register, I could just point it, and it would tell me the temperature of the register and the air coming out of it. I could point it at a roof or a garage door or a car to see if a white car is hotter in the sun or cooler in the sun than a black car or a green car or a brown car. Okay, non-contact. And you can measure temperatures at several feet away, even maybe 20 feet away, even more. So depending on how large the object you're trying to determine the temperature of is. All right, so here's what you can do. And you don't even have to get one of these, but you can do it with your hand. But you can get burnt. So let's say I'm pulling a trailer, and the trailer has two axles with four tires. And let's say one of those axles has brakes, electric brakes. And I'm pulling in after a trip, and I've used the brakes a bunch of times, and I want to know if the brakes are equalized. I want to know if there's a lot of drag on one wheel versus the other wheel. What I can do is I can feel the brake hub or the wheel hub and see if the temperature is the same. Is it hotter or colder than the corresponding one on the other side? So let's say the front axle has no brakes. Let's say the rear axle of the trailer has brakes. I can feel the rear two wheels right at the hub and see how hot they are compared to the other one. And then I can compare them to the axle with no brakes. And if they're red hot, I know something's not right, especially if only one wheel is hot and the other one isn't. And you can do the same thing with your car or light truck. Now, the front brakes of trucks and cars do about 60% of the braking. The rear brakes do about 40%. So you would expect the front brakes to be hotter than the rear ones. Also, the engine heat comes out from under the hood and travels to the front brakes as well. So there's a little extra heat from that, too. But you can tell the relative braking from one wheel to the other by measuring the temperature. You can do it with your hand, but you got to be careful because if you're under heavy braking and the weather's hot, you can burn your hand. But you can do it with a non-contact thermometer and check the temperature of one braking system versus the other. Kyle?
Yeah, exactly true, Vince. You know, and you want to do that if you're hauling a trailer or even if you're driving long distance, especially if you're going through mountains and different things like that and you're traveling. Say you're not even pulling a trailer, but you're just traveling with your family, you know, through the mountains in whatever vehicle it is. If you've got to cut, you're down on the other side of a mountain and you've had to use your brakes a lot, and there's a gas station, it's time for everybody to have a bathroom break, pull in there, and, you know, just, be careful, and you're better off having one of those non-contact thermometers where you can see where what the temperature is on your tires, but you can feel even the outside of the rim, and you'll be able to tell the difference with your hand. And if you've got one tire that is, that is much hotter than the others, you know you've got a problem right there that you should probably take a look at as soon as possible.
Right, and just as a tip going down hills, there's lots of theories on this. Some people say brake hard and, you know, just stay on the brake. That's absolutely wrong in my book. My book is to brake, let the brake shoes or pads cool, let the brake rotor cool, let the brake drum cool, so on and off the brakes. But you can save your brakes and prevent them from overheating by using a lower gear. But you need to do that as you start going downhill, not when you're at, you know, at runaway speeds. So you can downshift, and you can do that with an automatic transmission, too. One way, if you have a truck and you have a towing gear, there's usually a push button that takes you out of overdrive. That's what the towing gear button does. So it'll downshift your transmission, and you let your engine do some braking for you so you don't overheat the brakes. That's what I do. Kyle, any comments about that?
Yeah, I use it all the time, Vince. Same exact thing. Yep, the truck or even with a car, you know, taking it out of overdrive, going down a hill at the top of the hill before you start going down will start slowing you down a little bit, and it's not going to hurt the transmission. You know, but like Ben said there, you don't want to wait till you're, you know, doing 70 down that real steep long hill and then take it out and, you know, take it out of overdrive and go into drive. That will hurt your transmission more than likely, especially if you do it very often. But if you're at the top of the hill and you can pull it out of overdrive to just start slowing yourself down and don't think that, like, it goes back to that don't get in a hurry kind of a attitude. Better to take care of your vehicle and your family and or you, and just use a little common sense that way.
So here's another tip. I suggest you consider buying, I hate asking you to spend money, but I think this is something that you should do. There is a scan tool, and they're common. You can get them on eBay. For about $30 or so, maybe $35, you can get a decent scan tool. Look up which one is appropriate for your vehicle, and look up the ratings and see what customers think about the scan tools, because all of them have deficiencies. So if you can find one that will work with your vehicle, like BMW, they're really picky. Mercedes, really picky. But for the basic scanning information, your computers in your car will tell the scan tool what's happening, and it will point you in the right direction. Now, one of the things that happens is the check engine light comes on your dashboard. Almost always, that is a condition that will result in wasted fuel. It's a big deal for the engine manufacturers and the vehicle manufacturers to tell you when something is wrong with your emission system, whether you have a vapor leak from the fuel tank, or a fuel hose, or a vacuum leak, or there's something wrong with your engine that will cause you to burn more fuel. Unlike the oxygen sensors have begun to fail or have failed. So an oxygen sensor it takes the temperature of the exhaust before and after the catalytic converter. And the idea is it compares the two. And if the comparison of those two temperatures before and after the catalytic converter by the oxygen sensors determines the amount of fuel that gets sprayed into your engine by the fuel injectors. If your oxygen sensors are not working properly or have failed, you will probably use more fuel than you should be using. And if an oxygen sensor is $45 or $60 each, that's nothing compared to the fuel you're going to waste.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system.
Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
No whining, only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
So we're talking about fuel economy and improving your fuel economy. So the oxygen sensor is the sensor that is the primary sensor in determining how much fuel your engine should be getting. So when they fail, they need to be replaced in pairs. Typically, there might be two at the absolute minimum. There might be four, typically, on most vehicles. They need to be replaced in pairs so that they work properly. But the way to tell is your check engine light will probably come on, and then you can further determine if it's the oxygen sensors that have failed by using an OBD2 scan tool. OBD is onboard diagnostics. 2 is the version 2. And you can get a scanner for $30 or so. You can get them for less. You can get them that will transmit via Bluetooth to your phone. I don't recommend that. I recommend a handheld scanner that does not use any wireless communications. It's just a cable and a handheld scanner that's all in one, you know, the cable plus the scanner. And they're powered typically by the car, so they don't have batteries. And it'll tell you what's wrong, for the most part. Or if you don't want to get one, you can go to your big box auto parts store, Pep Boys, AutoZone, O'Reilly's, etc. And you can ask them to check and tell you what their scanner says. Kyle, any comments about scanners? There's many price points of scanners, all the way up to the thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah. The one thing to remember is that the OBD2 only works on 96 and newer General Motors stuff. And I'm not sure on some of the other Mercedes and all of those different ones what years they changed over. But before that, they were called the OBD1. and they were what a friend of mine calls the dumb computer. But
yeah, so 1996. Yeah, 1996 and newer vehicles typically support OBD2 scanners, but check with the particular model you're considering, or call your auto parts store and ask them what they recommend. They sell them too, and you can start from there and then determine whether you want to buy it on eBay or whether you want to buy it from your local auto parts store. When you drive, if you're gonna go from point A to B to C to D, what you should consider doing is go to the farthest destination first. And the reason for that is your vehicle is more likely to fully warm up for your subsequent trips from B to C to D if you go to the farthest destination first. So when you start your vehicle, what you should do, in my opinion, is let it idle for 30 seconds, about maybe 15 to 30 seconds, to make sure that all of the fluids are in circulation in the transmission, in the power steering system, and in the engine. Okay, all the lubricants are flowing unimpeded. Then you can take off. Otherwise, if you start the engine and while it's just starting to catch and you start driving away, you're driving away with the least amount of lubrication in your vehicle. That's really hard on it. So I wait 30 seconds before I, you know, put it into gear, whether it be a manual transmission or an automatic. And the other thing is I try to drive to the farthest destination first in a multiple point trip. Okay, that way the engine is fully warmed up and I'll have the maximum fuel economy, because a cold engine uses way more fuel than a fully warmed up engine. Kyle?
Well, a couple of different things on that. Where I live, we can have 30 below zero, you know, and sometimes 20 below zero is pretty common in the winter. We've had that a few times this winter, and just a few days ago we had 3 below zero. So I don't let mine warm up for 30 seconds. I will warm my car up for 5 minutes, because the amount of gas that it's going to cost me for that engine to warm up is saved in wear and tear on the engine. The other thing that you can do is if you have multiple stops, like we're 25 miles away from town, so my engine is quite warm by the time I, you know, get 2 or 3 or 4 miles down the road. But what we try to do is if we have multiple stops, say we have 4 or 5 other stops, we try to figure out how we can do that and do it in a loop so that we are not crossing back and forth in town, and try to get all the things so that we are the most efficient as we travel.
So we're talking about making your stops count. Now, the temperatures that you have in Montana are really cold compared to, you know, most of the country, right? So would you agree with what I said for most people if they don't live, you know, in extreme?
For most people, absolutely. Yeah, just give it. You can give it. I like it a little bit longer. I like 30 seconds and to then before you head out. But the other thing to think about is the synthetic oil will travel through your engine quicker and faster most of the time than regular conventional motor oil.
Absolutely correct. So if you live in temperature extremes, you're better off with synthetic oil, unless you have a leak. If you have a leak, a small leak, it'll become a gusher with synthetic oil. But for most applications, synthetic oil is the way to go. And if you're carrying around extra weight, like chains, as Kyle's been talking about, you know, every 200 pounds of weight in your vehicle, extra weight in the trunk, may cost you roughly a 1 mile per gallon. Kyle, we didn't get anywhere near through this chapter on saving fuel. Well, you want to do it again?
I'm game every time, Vince. It's fun.
Kyle, thank you so much for being with me and the class today.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system.
Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.